Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, probably a very familiar passage of scripture to many of you. It's been quoted a lot, and I don't know if people really understand the surrounding, the background of the scripture, the context in which it was written. But in Zechariah 4, 6, it says, "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." When this statement was made, obviously Zechariah, being a prophet, he's giving this prophetic word to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel being a governor at that particular time over the returned exiles from Babylonian captivity. And they're there to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city of Jerusalem, but it's not without much opposition. As a matter of fact, the opposition is so great against them that they just quit. And so Haggai and Zechariah, for those who know those two books of the Bible, they're actually prophets during the time of the rebuilding of the temple of Jerusalem, and God has raised them up to encourage the people not to stop the work, but to get back to the work. Don't look at your strength. Don't look at what you can do in your own power or in your own might. That's why he's saying it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And I believe that the church, it's time for the church to awaken to the fact that it's not our power, it's not our might, it's not our intellect, it's not our education and all these type things to where so much emphasis has been placed. But the bottom line is we must get back to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit must play a major role in our lives. And I don't mean that word play in a bad way. You think about this. We're in a dark world as far as the world itself goes. We're in it. By divine ordination, we're here. Not by chance. God needs light to illuminate darkness. And Jesus said in John the 17th chapter that we're in it, but we're not of it. In other words, we're not to be governed by the world. We're not participants of the world system. We use the system, but we use it from a godly perspective. We don't let the system control us. Does that make sense to you? For instance, you need money. Don't you? Some of you do? Okay. But you don't let that monetary system control you like it does so many people in the world today. It's not that they have money. They're controlled by money. God doesn't care how much money you have. He just doesn't want any of it to control you. You follow me? Okay. In this life, in this dark world, we need a guide. You know, if you go on certain adventures, they will. You get a guide to take you through these things. For instance, I've been on an African safari. We had a guide. You want to go out there by yourself? That wouldn't be real smart, I can tell you that. And so you have a guide, and you know what you do with a guide? You listen to the guide. You follow the lead of the guide. You don't lead the guide. And today, many people are trying to say, Lord, I'm going to go over here, now you bless it. We want to lead the Spirit instead of the Spirit leading us. And what God is wanting us to become aware of, first off, is you need the Holy Spirit. That's a given right from the very beginning, because I'll guarantee you, you won't make it through this life doing the will of God without the Holy Spirit, because you will stumble, you will fall in the dark. We need a guide, and that guide is the Holy Spirit. And if you're sitting in here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I highly recommend you start studying about the Holy Spirit. You understand? We're not just going to single you out and do this. I want you to know what you're doing. I want you to know how much you need the Holy Spirit. Jesus told His apostles who had healed, they had done all types of things, they had preached the gospel, but before He ascended, Luke 24:49, He says, "You wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Well, that's a statement. And then in Acts 1:8, He tells them what that power is. This is all before Jesus' ascension. "But you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be witnesses." You need the power to be. And basically what He's saying, if you'll allow me to paraphrase, wherever you go, whether it's in your hometown, whether it's in your state, or whether it's national or international, you will be witnesses wherever you go. But you can't be the witness God wants you to be without the Holy Spirit. And you know where He lives? In you. He's not walking outside you. He lives inside you, and the way He leads is by His promptings. That inner voice, however you want to say it. But on the inside of us, we know to do things, we know not to do things. And our head says, "You're crazy." But your heart says, "It's God. Follow God." Don't listen to your head. Listen to the heart where the Spirit of God dwells. Now, when I say listen to the heart, make sure the Holy Spirit's in there. Because if the Holy Spirit's not there, your heart can lead you in a different direction. You understand? But what the Lord is wanting us to know today is how vital the Holy Spirit is to our everyday living. You don't get smart enough, you don't go to church enough. None of these things is a substitute for God living in you and prompting you every day of your life as to what He wants you to do. This is how you fulfill the will of God, by listening to the Spirit. That's why He said, "For this I say to him, walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. Listen to the Lord. Then you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Get off track doing this, that, or the other. We're to listen to the Spirit. Understanding that it's not how much you study, it's not how much you can quote, but how well do you hear the Spirit? You understand? Actually, the other can be counterproductive. You can actually turn people off by missing the timing of God. If God's not dealing with their heart, you're wasting your breath anyway. And so we follow the promptings of the Lord. And God has said in the body of Christ, and this is how God speaks to the world, it's through the body of Christ. You understand? God's not just thundering out of heaven talking to the world. God has chosen to use a body called the body of Christ to represent Him in earth. So it's our voice. If God wants to act, it's our actions. In other words, we, following the lead of the Spirit, just simply act out what God wants done. If God wants to lay His hands on a person, then He moves on a person so He can use their hands to lay hands on that individual. That make sense to you? I mean, it's not like just God just walks in, boom, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Actually, we put limitations on God by not following the Spirit of God. God wants to do things, not just in a church service. God wants to do things in your house, on the job, wherever you go. God wants to do things. God wants to talk to people. God wants to minister to people. But so often, we suppress that. Well, this isn't the place. Well, where is the place? It's not a salt on salt, light on light deal, you understand? And that's what's happening in the church. We just want to pull out of the darkness and then just pat each other on the back and do all these things. Listen, the darkness is where the light needs to be. How many of you came in here this morning with a flashlight? You didn't need it. Is that a revelation to somebody? But I can promise you this, if you're going out somewhere, you're in the night, you and it's not lighted, you're going to use some kind of illumination to keep you from stumbling in the dark. God has strategically planted us in the world, called us the light of the world, so we can give light to people so they don't stumble in the dark. But it's done by the Spirit, not by the intellect. You follow me? So just tell yourself, I don't care how strong you are, how much you know, and how long you've been in church, just say, I'm dumb as a wall without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. But with the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Right? Now, do you understand you need the Holy Spirit? Good. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't spoken in other languages, I would encourage you to read the book of Acts. Start with the second chapter. Read the second chapter of Acts about the Holy Spirit. Read the eighth chapter of Acts. Read the ninth chapter of Acts. Read the tenth chapter of Acts. And then read the 19th chapter of Acts. There's five times in the book of Acts it talks about people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then read Acts 1:8 where he says that's what's going to give you the power to be. You understand? And I believe if Jesus' 12 apostles needed to wait until they were endued with power, then I need that power. Because they did some pretty remarkable things. And after they received the power, they did more remarkable things. You understand? Do you realize that Jesus never worked a miracle until after the Holy Spirit came upon him? Everything Jesus did in his earthly ministry, he did by the Holy Spirit, following the lead of the Holy Spirit. He has set the example for us. Jesus did not minister as the Son of God. He ministered as the Son of Man, being led by the Spirit of God. Man in the flesh, but God on the inside. God on the inside, controlling the outside, did some phenomenal feats. You understand? And he still does the same thing today. We were just talking this morning, and he was talking about how this kid that, I'll just be very, very brief with it, that for all practical purposes was dead. You understand? No activity, and that's when they tell you pull the plug and all this kind of stuff, but they're not living anyway. And yet how the church wouldn't give up on him, and the kid being in church there on the platform, what happened? God still does miracles. God still raises the dead. God still heals, but he needs people who will step out and let him flow through them by the Holy Spirit. Are you available? That's the key. That's the key. Am I available? Will I do what the Lord wants me to do when my head's telling me if you do that, people will think you are crazy? And you know, I finally come to grips with the fact they think I'm crazy anyway. So what's the big deal? I did a lot of stupid things before I got saved. You talking about crazy? We can talk about crazy. But stepping out for the Lord is not crazy. Stepping out for the Lord is faith. It's to where you believe if God has spoken to your heart, that God not only has the power to back it up, but he will back up his word. And he'll do it with signs following. You have to believe that. Or you're a believer. We call ourselves believers, but isn't it amazing how many believers don't believe? We hope. He didn't call us hopers. We're believers. So believers are supposed to believe that by God's word and by God's spirit, nothing is impossible if we believe. Amen. Now that's the message. That's it. That's the message. Because it's the time of demonstration.